So today in the program, we're going to be talking to David Barsamian in just a moment. He is the host of Alternative Radio. But right now, we are asking you to take a moment to support KSFR. This is the first day of a very short summer KSFR fund drive. What happened was we tried to do a silent fund drive, and it was largely successful in the sense that a lot of people heard the announcement, got the letters, wrote in, sent checks, and said, hey, we would like to support KSFR without your having to go on the air. But we didn't quite reach our goal, so we need to do just a little bit more fundraising over the course of a few days, and that is what we are here to ask you to do right now, and that is to support us by calling 428-1393, 428-1393. Make a pledge to KSFR, and we are looking to make $1,500 this hour. And if we do that just a few times, the fund drive will be over. I'm joined by Jason Silverman, who is the director of the CCA Cinematheque. He is both a filmmaker and a film curator, man about town, and wonderful person. And he's sitting here with me in the Santa Fe Baking Company. Welcome.
Hi, I'm so glad to be here.
It's great to have you here. And our mutual friend and everybody's friend, David Barsamian, will be with us in just a moment talking about what he does and talking about public radio. But it's just great to have you here. You are always such a supporter of KSFR and of public media.
Well, it's so essential what KSFR and what you and what David and what other people who have committed to tell our side of the story are doing. And it's hard to imagine, you know, we're fighting a battle against the commodity culture every day, and it's infiltrated every segment of our lives. And here we have in Santa Fe, one of the great public radio stations that has no profit motive. They're only here, you're only here, we're only here to make sure that the important stories get told.
428-1393 is the number, and the phones are already ringing, which I have to say I'm very pleased about, because it means that people support the show and support public media and support something other than the kind of crazy sound machine commercial universe out there. Nothing wrong with commerce, of course, but when it comes to telling the truth, sometimes that activity is a little bit at odds with commerce in the world we live in today.
You want to ask why a certain story is being told. What's the motivation behind the story? And, you know, there is nothing wrong with commerce to a certain degree, but there's also a point where it tips over and interferes with our civic life and our spiritual life. And I think that's happened in our culture. It happened a long time ago, and it's accelerating. And so Santa Fe is one of the few places remaining that has a strong foundation of independent thought, and KSFR is, of course, right at the center of that.
Civic life, spiritual life, independent thought, KSFR.
There you go. Can I get my bumper sticker?
Yep. 428-1393, 428-1393, and let's go now to David Barsamian. I'm delighted to welcome back to the Radio Cafe David Barsamian. He's award-winning producer and host of Alternative Radio, which airs on KSFR every Monday at 4 o'clock and again on Sundays at 5. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks very much, Mary Charlotte, and it's always a pleasure to be on one of my favorite radio stations in the entire United States, KSFR.
Yay, thank you. We wanted to get your perspectives on public radio itself and how it's changed and how it's developed since you first started doing it. What was the public radio landscape like when you started doing radio in the 80s?
Well, it was much more daring. There was much more risk-taking. There wasn't the fear of looking over your shoulder and worrying about whether you did a report or a feature or a news item on a particular corporation and, you know, whether that corporation was going to withdraw its funding from your station. This was because there was much more generous public funding of radio and TV, specifically NPR affiliates and community radio stations, and PBS, the public broadcasting system. So you had fairly generous public support, as was envisioned in the 1967 Public Broadcasting Act, the last great act of Lyndon Johnson before he, you know, got completely caught up in Vietnam and his presidency ended. But that, if you go back and look at that document, and if you listen to public radio and most stations, I'm saying, not all of them, obviously, and PBS, you'll see that the networks have really drifted into very safe zones. There are very few programs like alternative radio, let's say, on these affiliate NPR and PBS stations. And so the climate, the political climate, because of attacks, because of, in most important, attacks on the budget, has driven stations into a very conservative mode, much less likely to step out of bounds, much less likely to challenge the hegemonic thinking, you know, the conventional wisdom, as it were. And that, I think, has been really noticeable over the last 25, 30, 35 years. And when I started AR in Boulder in the mid-1980s, I was confident that there was a large radio audience for progressive views here in the United States. What's happened since then, over the last 30 years, has been a steady drift to the right. In fact, when you mean steady, it's rather sharp drift to the right. And this has resulted in more pablum, more palaver, more game shows, more antique road shows, more Garrison Keillor, as much as I like him, and the like, and a lot of, particularly on CBS, I would call them charlatans that hawk their wares about, you know, living forever and reduce aging and grow your hair back and things like that.
It strikes me that if you were trying to start a show like Alternative Radio right now, it would be more difficult than it was when you did almost three decades ago. How did the show actually begin?
Well, it began out of frustration with already existing media, and particularly its total dismissal of Noam Chomsky, who I've been very closely associated with over, you know, many decades now. I couldn't believe that he was nowhere to be found on the public radio dial. And so that's really prompted me to start this long format. And that, too, is kind of a dinosaur today, because people's attention spans have been deliberately reduced. So we have, you know, the age of Twitter. We have very sharp, short, haiku-like messages. And there isn't a lot of space for complex, elaborate, detailed, fact-driven analyses of current and past events. And I think that's absolutely critical, because if you're arguing something counter to the dominant mindset, you know, if you were to suggest that U.S. foreign policy may contribute to international terrorism, well, that's almost a heretical idea. So if you say something like that, then you need to have the time and space to develop your argument, because people have not heard that kind of perspective. But if you say the opposite, if you say that there's no connection between U.S. foreign policy and terrorism, you don't need to present any facts, because that's the dominant mode, that's the trope that's repeated over and over again on the nightly news, on, you know, all the radio talk shows and all the major TV talk shows as well. So that, I think, addressing that space is absolutely important, and alternative radio has tried to do that, you know, over these well nigh 30 years. So I began here in Boulder at a community radio station I made lots of mistakes. I was a volunteer. I made a fool of myself on the air multiple times, not just once or twice. But finally, I figured it out. You know, it's not organic chemistry. It was rocket science. And I got better and better at editing, at narrating, at asking questions when I'm doing interviews. And thus, I launched AR. And the first program was, in fact, featuring Noam Chomsky.
It's interesting. I was thinking about, before we got together on the air today, I was thinking about what your show does and what it's done for me, because I've been listening to this show since probably the beginning of the 1990s, and it's a kind of myth-busting, and I have to say one of the myths is that people want short attention span sound bites. Maybe some do, but I have found doing radio that people actually really like a long format. They like to follow an idea. They like to listen to an interesting person for a period of time and follow it, and follow their argument. People from all demographics, not just like super highly educated college grads or PhDs or whatever. And another, I mean, there's so many myths that your show busts. Myths of free trade, myths of democracy, myths of equality. Do you see your show that way?
Yeah, it's very iconoclastic, which kind of fits my personality, you know, being a rebel from almost childbirth. You know, I do want to make people think. I want to encourage intellectual discourse. Ferment, I think, is very important for the well-being and health of a democracy. And in one way, I talk about what the corporate media has done to the culture and to the country and to the general population. It has, you know, it's kind of akin to a public health hazard. And we have to be really careful about being subjected to all the, you know, I'll use the term propaganda that cascades from the mouths of so-called objective news anchors who are all paid, by the way, millions and millions of dollars. And also the, you know, some of the radio talk show hosts as well. So finding that space and holding on to it and making it grow is, of course, a huge challenge now in a culture that is more dominated by corporations. I don't think I'm saying anything controversial here. A culture, a political landscape, and economy that is more dominated by corporations than any time in U.S. history. And I think that poses serious challenges. It poses serious ramifications for the well-being and vibrancy of any democracy. And I don't think this is a left or right issue. I think this is, you know, this should reach all people. This notion that there has been a huge growth of corporate power at the expense of public power.
And that corporate power works both in direct ways like environmental destruction and in really insidious ways like getting people to have deep emotional identification with products as opposed to with people or landscapes or whatever the more kind of substantial things are in our lives.
Absolutely. I mean, I couldn't agree with you more. We get more and more isolated in front of our electronic devices. When I used to go into cafes not that long ago, people would talk to one another. You'd see, you know, very animated conversations. And now I'm sorry to report that in most instances, people are, you know, looking at their screens and are lost in some kind of electronic cyberspace. Now, I confess to doing it myself, but I think that contact is lost. We get further atomized the more time we spend behind screens. And, for example, my internet service provider is Rise Up, an independent group of activists based in Seattle. And their slogan is, you know, get off the screen, get into the streets. You know, so I think we need a kind of balance of that. We need the screen information, but we also need not forget activism and how important it is to engage in public issues. And I know right now you're trying to fundraise on KSFR, and I want to encourage people to call 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or toll-free 866-907-5737, 866-907-5737, and pledge to KSFR. It's really important that you keep the airwaves alive and healthy and support the kind of work that Mary Charlotte has been doing, over the years. You know, really a tremendous contribution to the Santa Fe community.
We're talking to David Barsamyan, producer and host of Alternative Radio. And we are here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with Jason Silverman, and we would like you to give a call. We've got a couple of thank yous. I would like to thank Leslie, and I would like to thank Jeff Klein, and I would like to thank Anonymous, and we would like to get the phones ringing. If you could call 428-1393, 428-1393. We have a $1,500 goal for this hour. Do you think that we can make it, Jason Silverman?
We will make it. We've never failed at our goals, have we?
Not too often, but it's never a sure thing. There's been a few times that we didn't quite make it. There's a few times we went over, but the point is that this is a community resource, as David Barsamyan was saying, and it's one of those things, I mean, once you start noticing your own behavior about what you do and don't pay for, about what you do expect to come for free and not, you realize how sort of crazily irrational we are. And so people will, for example, go out to a very expensive dinner, which is a beautiful thing from time to time, but they won't take that same amount of money and give it to somebody in need necessarily. And so, and that's a kind of irrational thing because the money is there. And so we are asking you to kind of think about that a little bit, to think about, hey, if you've got $200 that you could spend on a dinner, why not pledge that right now to KSFR by calling 428-1393?
It'll last a lot longer.
It will last a lot longer. It's true. Because if we get a bunch of those contributions this hour and in the next couple of days, this is a very short fund drive, we're only doing it for a few days, then we will get through another, 4 to 6 months, I think it is.
It's incredible. It's actually the best investment you can make in Santa Fe, I think, is to put some money into KSFR, because KSFR serves everybody. Even the people who don't listen to it have their quality of lives improved.
How does that work?
It works because the work that you do, and you do it tirelessly. I got to get some sleep.
I do it without tires.
Without tires, yes. You do it on bare rims. It impacts the quality of life throughout the community. Without you, who knows how the CCA would be doing or how the Lentic would be doing or if the stories would be told about improving our schools or about protecting our environment. All the things that happen on this show, all of the voices that are heard, all of the support that arises from hearing those stories, all of that makes Santa Fe a very special place. And we all live in this place. It's amazing to hear David talk about the funding of these stations and how it's all fallen onto individual shoulders now. And it's not right, but it is what's happening now. The public funding for cultural organizations and for independent voices has fallen dramatically. And the support that is given is often given, as David alluded to organizations that are telling fairly mainstream conservative stories. So Garrison Keillor, who I also love, may get some funding to keep his program going, and that's wonderful. But Alternative Radio, which is telling these stories that really broaden the idea of dialogue, is not. And so we have to do it. You know, each of us have to do it because, our government is not going to do it for us.
428-1393 is the number. We also have a toll-free number, 866-907-5737. That's 866-907-KSFR. And I think that, Amy Goodman's tagline and David Barsamyan and others and what they do at the Lenzik at the Lannan Foundation, it's about speaking truth to power. And right now, we are in, it's very sad, and it's completely transformed since I was a small child when we were speaking, I mean, not we, I was a toddler, whatever, but, you know, in the 1960s, they were speaking truth to power, and actually some changes were made, and we got environmental legislation, and we got civil rights legislation, and all kinds of things. And now, it's very, very hard to speak truth to power, because power has figured out how to pretty much own the government, I mean, to put it bluntly, but there we have it. And David Barsamian's show is doing that. And what we try to do on the Radio Cafe, because it's a local show, it's not a national show, so we're not necessarily speaking truth to the mayor's office, although if that has to happen, that will happen. But it's more about getting underneath the story, getting the human side of the story. Yesterday we had on a wonderful woman named Allegra Love, who had been to the border of Mexico and Guatemala and was talking in detail about what's going on there from a human perspective, from a heart perspective. And those shows, first of all, that length of show you would never hear on mainstream or corporate media, but you wouldn't hear that quality of voice either, and that's what we try to do at KSFR.
I think that as corporate power increases and ebbs and flows, it was interesting to hear David say that corporate power is more entwined with public power now than it ever has been. And David doesn't say things like that lightly. I mean, he's a historian. The resistance or the populist, the progressive response evolves too. So KSFR is at the center of that, and so are all the other people who are telling stories independently. And there's a lot more ways to tell those stories, too. So the battle is definitely not lost, but it is an essential one. And at any point at which we can support independent thought, independent voices, and institutions that support them, we need to do it. And, you know, number one in our community is KSFR. And I also have to say that I listen to public radio whenever I'm out in the world elsewhere, and what KSFR specifically does is incredible. A lot of the public radio stations play classical music for most of the day. We've got community members playing all kinds of music. We have local news. We have Mary Charlotte doing her thing. It's quite incredible the diversity of voices that KSFR provides.
KSFR, the SFR stands for Santa Fe Radio. We're going to go back to David Barsamian, but we're going to give you the number one more time, 428-1393. By the way, if you can make a monthly contribution, if you can pledge, say, $10 or $20 or $30 a month, talk to the lovely volunteer who answers the phone, because those are the memberships that really, or the kinds of pledges that really keep us going. And then you can just kind of say, oh, I already give, so you don't have to worry during the fund drives. It's a good thing to do. It's what I do with several organizations. 428-1393. And let's go back to David. And we're back with David Barsamian, host of Alternative Radio, talking about public radio, talking about media. I think it's fascinating that your work in radio actually began with music.
Indeed. When I first arrived in Boulder in 1978, a new community radio station had just signed on, KGNU, and I had just come from India, where I had been going for many years, starting in the mid-1960s, and had studied Indian music, sitar. And I proposed this show. This radio station had just gone on the air, and they were looking for volunteers. So I said, hey, let me volunteer. You know, I don't have any job prospects here in Boulder, and I pitched a program called Ganges to the Nile, featuring music from that entire geographic expanse from South Asia to the Middle East. And lo and behold, within weeks, I was on the air. I was like dumbstruck. Wow. And as I said, I made lots of mistakes, but, you know, that's part of it in terms of growing. So, yeah, the music helped get me involved politically in KGNU, and I started doing more and more political programs, and then the politics and alternative radio have overwhelmed the music, although I still listen a lot to Indian music, and I still love it. I really don't have time anymore to practice it because it requires an enormous amount of attention.
You actually studied with musicians in India and were a serious player yourself.
Well, I really was exposed to some of the greatest musicians in the world, unbelievably talented and gifted artists practicing Indian classical music. So that exposure was really my undergraduate and graduate education. I can't say that I've been formally trained here in conventional terms. I dropped out of college after just two semesters. But the training I got in India really broadened my mind. It was so valuable to be outside the U.S., looking at the U.S. through the prism of Indian media. This was at the height of the U.S. intervention and wars of aggression in Indochina, in Laos, Cambodia, and Vietnam. And it was remarkable to look at the world through other media. And the interpretation, of course, was very, very different from what was, you know, kind of the received wisdom here in the U.S. So I count my days in India as really the, you know, one of the high points of my life, and has really broadened my worldview. And I was, you know, I met a lot of poets, a lot of writers. I picked up some languages. So all of it, all in all, it was, you know, a wonderful, wonderful, enriching experience.
Yeah, I mean, to have somebody who is involved in reporting and news gathering who actually speaks Hindi and Urdu and other languages besides English, that in itself gives you an understanding of the people about whom you're reporting and a perspective which is much deeper than the kind of shallow, quick in, quick out news reporting that we often get with, you know, with reason, I suppose, from the mainstream media. But tell us about some of the reporting that you have done in India over the years.
Well, I've focused quite a bit on one of the, I think, most important and most obscured and hidden stories, and that has been the ongoing rebellion in the area of North India known as Kashmir, where since 1989, about 70 to 80,000 Kashmiris have been killed. Hundreds of thousands have been imprisoned and tortured. Many, many thousands have been disappeared. To say this is not on the radar would be a gross understatement. It simply is not reported on anywhere except, you know, an occasional item in a newscast. And again, without context, it's difficult for people to process information if that information is not part of their regular diet. Let me use the here nutrition as a kind of metaphor for the problem with the corporate media. We certainly get full up with, you know, we're sated, but we're not nourished with what the production of the so-called news. And so if you introduce a new food to your diet that you've never had before, there's going to be some reluctance or hesitation, perhaps, to process it. And so that's why I think the corporate media should be declared as a public health hazard, and the Surgeon General should, you know, actively be warning consumers of corporate media to just watch themselves, because they could be seriously deluded, they can be seriously misled about what's going on. So Kashmir has been a big focus of mine in India, and also you may know that there are multiple rebellions going on all over the country. I mean, India projects this image of being the land of Gandhi and Buddha, and, you know, everyone's a vegetarian and practicing yoga and playing sitar. You know, some of those things are there, but India is a very violent country, and there are numerous rebellions that are going on that I think deserve our attention. There are also rebellions going on in neighboring Pakistan as well, which are even less covered. I'm thinking of the conflict in Balochistan, which is an oil and gas-rich state bordering the Arabian Sea, and also Iran and Afghanistan as well. So those are some of the issues that I cover, you know, in India, working with, you know, great thinkers and activists and writers like Vandana Shiva, like Arundhati Roy, like Tariq Ali, who's from Pakistan, Pervez Hoodbhai from Pakistan, and many others I've been fortunate to be connected with.
You were barred from entering India a couple of years ago. What happened?
Well, I arrived at New Delhi Airport with a valid visa, and I was told to step aside, a phrase you never want to hear at any airport. And I was then told that I would not be allowed to enter the country. When asked for an explanation, a piece of paper was waved in my face and said, "We have an order from the Ministry of the Interior that you're on a list, you cannot enter the country." I said, "But I have a valid visa. I've been coming to India since 1966. What's going on?" And this young man, fairly young, said, "You know, I really don't know. I'm carrying out orders, and we cannot allow you into the country." And that was 3 years ago. And here's, you know, the world's largest democracy, as it likes to tell the world, you know, barring fairly, you know, middle to old person from entering the country, even though I had a valid visa. So I'm still trying to figure out what's going on. It's impossible to get an answer from the Indian government. You go into this it's a Kafka-esque kind of situation. Letters are not responded to, emails are not responded to, even petitions signed by noted Indians went completely ignored. So it's very frustrating, I'm still fighting, and I'm still hoping to return to India, which is, you know, now entered a whole new phase with the ascendancy of Narendra Modi, of a right-wing Hindu fascist party. If you can imagine in the United States a candidate who becomes president who had been a member of the Ku Klux Klan, for example, that would be analogous to what Narendra Modi represents. He was part, a member, an activist of the RSS, which is an acronym for a right-wing Hindu nationalist fascist party, a straight-out fascist party that has targeted and killed Muslims, that was even responsible for the assassination of Mahatma Gandhi in 1948, because Gandhi was considered by these fanatics as too soft on Muslims, if you will.
Do you feel that you were barred from India because of the reporting that you were doing there?
I'm almost certain of it. And speaking out, you know, I'm interviewed when I go there. You know, I'm not only the interviewer, I get interviewed. And, you know, I made, you know, a very clear, unambiguous statement that the people of Kashmir have the right to self-determination. This is guaranteed to all peoples everywhere. It's enshrined in the UN Charter. I'm sure that certainly riled raised the hackles of right-wing Hindu fanatics who see Kashmir as some kind of sacred land that they must hold on to forever. I think, you know, that's probably, you know, contributed to my being denied entry into the country. But I'm not the only one. There are many other professors, scholars, even geologists, you'll be surprised to learn, who have been banned from India.
We're talking to David Barsamyan, host of Alternative Radio. And we are not even a quarter of the way to our $1,500 goal. So, ladies and gentlemen, please help us out. I am sitting here in the Santa Fe Baking Company with David Barsamyan, with Jason Silverman of the CCA Cinematheque, who is also a good friend of David Barsamyan's over many years.
David's one of my heroes. He's I ran a festival in Taos, and or helped run a festival in Taos, and he came every year and injected the film festival with all kinds of deep meaning about what it means to tell stories and what it means to receive stories and the value of seeing where those stories come from and what the motivation underneath them is.
428-1393 is the number, and we sure would like to get to our $1,500 goal for this hour. So please give us a call. I also really like to make a call out during the fund drive, which happens usually two or three times a year, to friends of the show. So if you have been listening to this show for a while and you like it, this is really the time you get to say so. It's the time you get to make a call. Of course, I get emails from people from time to time, and it's very nice to get those emails. But if you can say, I support the show, I support Mary Charlotte being able to do this show, that's a wonderful thing for me, and it's a wonderful thing for the station.
How many people have you had on the show?
In the course of the almost 11 years I've been doing it?
Did you ever add it up?
It's in the thousands. I don't know how many thousand.
So we need, you know, a few bucks from each of them.
Well, and some of them have passed on to the great radio station in the sky. Some of them have moved out of town. Some of them aren't even from here. And many of them are here, and many of them live here. Whether you're a listener, whether you've been on this show, it would just be so awesome if you would call us right now, 428-1393.
Should I do a clumsy metaphor?
Uh-oh.
So we've got this very independent thinking town, and each of these organizations that support that are bricks, they're adobe bricks, right? Well, KSFR is the mortar that holds it all together. So all of us who are working, in an arts organization, an environmental organization, in a school, in a faith-based organization, who are doing any storytellers, artists, musicians, all of us owe a debt to the Radio Cafe and to KSFR.
Activists.
So any of you who are listening now, you know, pull out your checkbook or your credit card and call, because we need Mary Charlotte to be able to continue to do what she's doing. It makes my job much easier. We have all kinds of great programs happening at the CCA all the time. With all that's happening out in Santa Fe on a day-to-day basis, you need someone who can say, this is really especially interesting and important. And I have to say, when you feature one of our filmmakers on your show, it makes an incredible difference in the response.
Oh, well, that's great, and we're going to be doing so very soon. Lots of good stuff coming up at the CCA. Nick is in the control room, and we've got some thank yous.
Yes, thanks, Mary Charlotte. We'd like to say thank you to Joanne and Truel West.
Thank you.
I'd like to say thank you to Nancy Warren, who loves Mary Charlotte.
Oh, thank you so much.
Thank you to Michael.
Thanks, Mike.
Thanks to Ann Anthony.
Or I should say Michael. Some people don't like to be called Mike. Thank you, Ann Anthony.
And thank you from Nat Wilson, who says, thank you, Mary Charlotte and David Barsamian. They are on the top of his list.
Yay! We like it. 428-1393. I'm thinking we might get to our goal, but we've got a long way to go. So the path to $1,500 starts with a single adobe brick, to use Jason Silverman's metaphor. I think I'm getting it all wrong, but it doesn't matter. 428-1393 is the number, or toll-free 866-907-5737, 866-907-KSFR. And let's go back to David Barsamian, but in the first moment or two or three of the last segment of this conversation, let's have you give a call, and we'll come back toward the end of the show.
Oh, are you giving something away, too?
Oh, yes, I keep forgetting. Thank you for reminding me, Jason Silverman. If you make a pledge of any amount, it's not any amount, I can't remember what the amount is, but some amount that they will tell you when you call on the phone, you will get David Barsamian talking to Noam Chomsky on CD. It's one of the latest conversations that they did. It might be a conversation in lecture, I'm not exactly sure, but it's a very recent one. So let's do that too. 428-1393, David Barsamian. And we're back with David Barsamian, host and producer of Alternative Radio, which airs here on KSFR two times a week on Monday afternoons at 4, and again on Sunday afternoons at 5. Now, you've talked about how public radio has changed in the last three decades or so. It's become less risk-taking. It's become more conservative. And we're talking about public radio, not just corporate or mainstream radio. What kind of responses are you getting to alternative radio from younger people? Are they listening? What are 20- and 30-something progressives listening to? How are they getting their media?
a lot of younger people are getting their media through the internet. So web streaming and archival programs and podcasts, I think, seems to be the mode for a lot of young people right now. So it's a newer audience. And I think it's growing. I certainly hope it's growing, because I don't think we can depend on the stations forever. More and more stations have dropped, I'm sorry to report, alternative radio just in the last 4, 5, 6 years, because I believe of political pressure, of corporate sponsorship pressure, and the like. But the internet is still a relatively free, let's say, area of information, although, you know, that may change if the FCC decides to create a fast lane, an HOV lane, and a regular traffic lane. Then there'll be privileging of internet users, and I think that's probably something you've talked about on your program, and I think, you know, all citizens should be concerned about what the FCC is contemplating right now, which is a two-tiered system, which will again favor the haves over the have-nots. I mean, the genius of the internet is that it is relatively democratic and accessible. Also, it is accessible to the surveillance state, which has mushroomed in the last few years to completely have total information about our passwords, about our correspondence. The most intimate details of our lives are now known to the National Security Agency and other government surveillance and intelligence agencies. That's a real blow to democracy, and I think it's something that we who care about freedom and independence should be deeply concerned about. And I can think of no one better than Glenn Greenwald, who was recently featured on alternative radio to speak out on this particular issue, and Edward Snowden, Laura Poitras, Jeremy Scahill, and others. Though, by the way, those are the really good people. Ask me, well, where are the good young journalists? Well, they're out there. You know, I just mentioned 3 or 4 of them. There's Matt Taibbi as well. There are really good journalists out there doing independent work in a very constricted and, I would say, dangerous atmosphere, because the government, particularly the Justice Department under Eric Holder, who is no doubt taking orders directly from the White House, you know, is prosecuting whistleblowers, is prosecuting and threatening journalists to reveal their sources, is going right to the heart of information democracy and trying to curtail it, trying to constrain it and to limit it. And I think this again poses real threats for the communication needs of a democratic society, because if people don't know what's going on, then literally the wool can be pulled over their eyes.
What media sources, both in the U.S. and internationally, do you go to for your news?
Well, I was very happy to see Al Jazeera America start up about a year ago, and it has attracted some, you know, really fine journalists, and they do terrific documentaries on topics that are, you know, never broached in the corporate controlled media. So they have, you know, a website. They also have Al Jazeera TV, which is now widely available in the United States, albeit through a corporate cable controlled system. I like The Guardian a lot. I like from London. I like the Hindu from India, Dawn newspaper from Pakistan, The Independent from London. There's some really good news sources. There are a lot of good websites here in the country as well. So I think if you look, you can find things. But often it takes a little bit of effort, since a lot of these groups, a lot of these news organizations don't have a lot of capital and therefore can't really get, the word out. I'm thinking about ZNet, for example, or Counterpunch. Code Pink has a really good website. These are all sources of information that I rely on. And, of course, people who send me items, people who send me information or alert me to things going on in their neighborhood, in their region, in their country, in around the world. And that's always a source of, firsthand eyewitness information about what's going on.
David, please tell our listeners, why should they give to KSFR right now?
Well, that's a very easy question. They should give to KSFR right now by calling 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or toll-free 866-907-5737, 866-907-5737. KSFR is an island of audio independence in a veritable sea of corporate-controlled media. And when I started out, you know, doing media, doing radio way back when, there were, you know, maybe 40 or 50 corporations that controlled most of the media in the United States. That's down to a handful now. It's single digits. It's four or five. I think in Canada it's four. It's even worse than here. And the U.S. is five. And right now there are proposals for even more concentration, more media mergers and takeovers. Comcast is seeking to take over AOL, Time Warner. Murdoch is trying to take over another big media outlet, particularly cable TV. That's what they want, to not only control the pipes, which they've had for quite some time, the pipes to your home. They want to control the content, and they're moving now into content. So yes, Murdoch is trying to buy Time Warner, the big Hollywood studio. So all of these things are going on, and KSFR represents one of those islands of audio independence where you can hear alternative radio twice a week right there in the Santa Fe area. You can hear other programs that challenge the general consensus about the economy or about U.S. Foreign policy or what's happening with the environment, which I think is, you know, an absolutely critical issue that has to be mentioned constantly. The war on nature, as Vandana Shiva calls it, has been a relentless attack on our very home and jeopardizes the future generations in unforeseen ways and in very, very dangerous ways. I don't want to use apocalyptic language, but we have to be paying attention to these kinds of issues right now. And I urge everyone to call 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393. Be as generous as you possibly can be and give whatever is appropriate for your particular budget, you know, whether it's $30 or $300 or $3,000 or $30,000, whatever you can spare. Please call and pledge your support for KSFR. And I think if you do call, you'll get a copy, a CD copy of my latest program with Noam Chomsky called The State of Insecurity. It's a talk that he gave recently in Santa Barbara, California. And I think it really speaks to a lot of the issues we've been talking about today, the need for, the desperate need for independent sources of information. So please call KSFR right now. Do something for yourself and for your community. It's a win-win situation. 505-428-1393, 505-428-1393, or 866-907-5737, 866-907-5737. And I believe you can go online as well to pledge, ksfr.org. That's ksfr.org. It'll just take a couple of minutes of your time. You really feel good about yourself. You've done something for your community in a very concrete way by supporting independence in media.
David Barsamyan is the award-winning producer and host of Alternative Radio, which once again airs on KSFR every Monday at 4 in the afternoon and Sundays at 5. David, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and we look forward to seeing you in Santa Fe one of these days.
Always a pleasure, Mary Charlotte. Thanks a lot.
And we are $203 short of our $1,500 goal. So this is very exciting because we've got about 3 or 4 minutes left.
Yeah, when I'm driving around town listening to KSFR, you know what I think, what I'm thinking?
What?
This is mine.
Yeah.
This is, and ours. I helped make this.
Yeah.
Because I'm a contributor. I contribute with each fund drive, and I don't make a lot of money. I work for a not-for-profit organization. I would rather my money go here than to buy, you know, latte. I'm not a coffee drinker, but buy latte or whatever you can use. Say,
stuff.
I'm gonna. This is more important.
Yeah.
And it feels good, and I am building a strong community with my donation.
428-1393 is the number. 428-1393. And if one person would call with a donation of $203
and 1 cent,
we would. No, $303. Sorry, we're $303 short. I'm, you know, math and everything.
Someone needs to call with a pledge of $303.01 so we can exceed our goal.
Okay, exactly. Or, you know, $300 pledges, but one of them has to be $103. So, 428-1393 is the number, and we've got some phones ringing, so I'm hopeful that we will reach and possibly even exceed our goal, but keep calling 428-1393. Hey, Nick, do we have any people to thank?
Absolutely. Here we
Yay.
Go. Thanks to Mary and David.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lois Alsop.
Yay.
Alexandra Eldridge, who thanks Mary Charlotte for her show.
Thank you.
John Gordon.
Thank you, John.
Charlene Reeder.
Yay.
Mark Obermeyer.
Thank you.
And Ron Goll.
Wonderful. Thank you all so much. And I would like to report that there is a cat on the patio of KSFR, which is unusual because it's usually dogs. But that is irrelevant because this is not about cats and dogs. This is about public radio.
It's always about cats and dogs.
You're right. 428-1393 is the number. And Jason Silverman, it's just great having you here. And I want to thank you on the air publicly for the incredible job that you do at the CCA Cinematheque. You just do a wonderful, wonderful job. I love going to watch movies there. I love having the opportunity to interview some of your filmmakers. 428-1393 is the number for KSFR. Jason Silverman, thank you so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe, and thank you so much to our listeners. This is listener-supported public radio, KSFR. It's just about time for the news. Keep the phones ringing all through the day. Maybe we can get through the rest of our fun drive today. Otherwise, we'll be here tomorrow doing the same thing. Hasta la vista.
Thank you.
Ciao.
Take out your checkbooks.
Yes.